began so long ago with a band of Queen's Park men.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Spiders Talk podcast. David Blair, Enzo Tamnini and Callum Stewart back again. I think we've now got to call this a bit of an undefeated run, haven't we? It may be three draws, but as I say, the run of losses have stopped. We will, of course, go back and look at the late, late show with Rooney Payton sealing a point in the 94th, 95th minute, something like that. Queen's Park 2, Ayr 2, obviously down at Somerset Park. And we'll look ahead to this coming Saturday. Pretty tough test, I think it's fair to say, with the high-flying Raith Rovers coming to Hampden. Callum and Enzo, how are we both doing? Well, Enzo, you're, as we were talking about just before we hit record, you're struggling a little bit.
I've got a wee bit of a cold, so if my voice sounds off or if I sound a bit congested, that's the explanation for it. But otherwise, I'm all right. I'm still feeling relatively positive on the back of Saturday because, yeah, the first half was poor, and again, it was individual errors and daft kind of moments of losing concentration at the back that ultimately probably cost us a win. But the resilience that this team has shown over the past three games is something that I'm taking quite a lot of heart from, and I still think we're going to come good. So I'll be doing a bit better when this cold decides to leave. But overall, in terms of the football anyway, I think we can be cautiously optimistic at this point.
As opposed to incredibly optimistic after the Partick Thistle game.
Well, as opposed,
I'm relatively content right now. Well, not content, but I'm happier than I have been over the last few weeks. I think I was expecting a wee bit more from the Ayr game, if I'm honest. I thought the first half was pretty tragic, and I think watching the game, I probably felt worse than I do looking back on it and after watching the highlights again, because the first half was pretty terrible. We didn't pull much together. Ayr were, obviously, they took their chances from our defensive errors yet again, and it felt a wee bit here we go again. But the second half was much better, creating more chances. We probably could have and maybe should have scored a third one if you take into account Thompson and Payton's header. So yeah, lots to be positive about, and I think the resilience side of it is important. Whilst we are still making these horrible mistakes, the guys are coming back from it and cracking on with it. And you can't be too disappointed with a last minute equaliser, can you? I mean, we've talked about this a few times. Our record in the last like 10-15 minutes of games over the last few seasons is generally pretty horrific. So to be on the right side of that for once is good.
Yeah, that really doesn't happen often. Unfortunately for us, I do think it's how many games of two halves have we seen? Certainly recently as well. I think that's where, and I know maybe we'll talk about it later on, there was a little bit of comeback on I tweeted post-match, and in my opinion, it was a point stolen, and I think that was mainly down to, I agree with you, Cam, you know, how poor the first half felt, certainly, on the night. On the night, it was 5 o'clock, but it's pitch black now at that time, so you think it's middle of the night. It felt so poor at half time, and there was infighting amongst Queen's Park fans and all that about what was going wrong and everything. It just felt like it was one of those moments that really could have got away from us. But that resilience that was shown in the second half, getting those two goals, the late one from Payton, as we've already touched on, could we have scored another? Possibly. There's a couple of good half chances there, particularly from Jack Thompson, but, you know, in this run, take a point coming back from 2-0 down and looking completely down and out, I suppose. I'm not going to say I'm happy with it, but it could have been a hell of a lot worse, so I'll certainly take it.
I think your tweet got a bit of a reaction from some people, David, that a few people didn't necessarily agree with your take on it. I'll be honest with you, I'm probably one of them. I don't think it was a point stolen necessarily, and I actually think, and I realise this isn't how football works, it's a bit of a cliche, but I think if that goal had come 5 minutes earlier, we'd actually probably gone on to win that game 3-2. We'd have done the reverse of what Ayr did to us at Oakview at the start of last season. But there's quite a lot to talk about, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that as well, to be perfectly honest. As I say, certainly just with how poor the first half was, yeah, coming back, I suppose looking back, and you know, as Callum says as well, you know, you look back at the highlights, you see the other chances that were there and some of the play that we did have, and probably a point was fair on the day, but yeah, at that time, I did say, And we'll talk about the first half. We'll go into it right now. Just that first 45, I was feeling pretty miserable. So that's perhaps where a point stolen came from. But I tell you something, I'm not going to be upset about people disagreeing with any of my opinions. It's not like it's something new to me. So I'm very used to it now. But I say, let's get into the game and see if we can find some more that we disagree with. So I don't think we disagree with Robin Velman's starting lineup, though. It was the exact same starting 11 that took to the pitch against Partick Thistle. Obviously, that excellent 2-2 draw at Hampden. So just run through it very quickly. Why not? Callum Ferry in goals. Longridge, Bannon, Reid and Robson in the back four. The three Jacks in midfield. And you had Jarrett and Dom Thomas supporting Rory Payton. The first 10 minutes, so Ayr took the lead 12 minutes in. But the first 10 minutes felt pretty good for Queen's Park up until... In fact, I think it was maybe just after 12. I think it was 12 minutes was the first air chance, sorry. But that first 10 minutes anyway, yeah, we seen so much of Dom Thomas and Tommy Robson right in front of us and that wee holding pen at the front of the stand, because despite the fact the end behind the goal, the terrace behind the goal was completely empty, they wouldn't let us go in there for whatever reason, which, pointless, but there you go, that's Ayr's decision. But yeah, we saw plenty of them getting up and down that left-hand side. We could clearly see that there was a concerted effort to attack down the left-hand side. It did eventually break away, though, and, well, we get let off. As I say, it was 12 minutes in where Ayr did counter-attack their first real chance. And Akeem Rose, for some reason, instead of he's through one-on-one with one-on-one against Callum Ferry, and he decides to play a pass to Dowds, I think it was, on his left, and Dowds was in an offside position. So instead of taking on the one-on-one himself, he tried to give his teammate an empty net. Instead, it was given as offside, so they lost everything. But up until that point, as I say, there were a couple of half chances for Queen's Park, and there was plenty of pressure going forward. It was an all right start to the game, wasn't it?
It was okay. It wasn't at the same pace, I think, as the Thistle game. We were a wee bit slower in our build up, which I personally find a wee bit frustrating sometimes. But we were doing fine, and then it was just. It was kind of same old, wasn't it? It was individual errors again, which cost us this time. Unfortunately, it was Thompson, and we seem to have this knack of whenever we do make an individual error, the other team punishing us for it, which I guess you should expect at this level in the Championship. I do think there was a wee bit of bedding into that game needed, because again, we know how Ayr are going to set up. They're going to set up their standard sort of 4-4-2. You're going to have physicality up front. They had that with Dowds and Rose. And I do think we struggled a wee bit. We talked about Lewis Reid the previous game. He had an excellent game. I think the first half he was bedding in a wee bit against Rose. Rose seemed to have the better of him. He got away from him a few times. He performed much, much better in the second half, though, so full credit to him. But there was a wee bit of shakiness there, and it was just unfortunate from Thompson that he gets caught on the ball, and then they're able to play the through ball. And unfortunately, Dowds does really, really well off the back of it. I think he pegs Reid and then slots it home. So, yeah, it was a weird first half. I actually completely missed the second goal. I think I went to the toilet or something like that, and I just heard the dulcet tones of their fans when I was walking back, and lots of sad faces coming back into the pen. But yeah, it was frustrating, and I've got to be honest, at halftime, I had absolutely zero expectations that we would come into that game. So to be proven wrong on that front is good.
I think my face would probably have been one of those very, very sad ones that you were talking about there, because I was in a very similar... I was of a similar opinion when we went 2-0 down. I was just thinking, we went down against Airdrie and we came back. Thistle as well, under slightly different circumstances, obviously, but... You know, we went down and came back. Ultimately, we ended up chucking the win away there. But I didn't think we had that in us for a third game in a row. But that's the resilience I was talking about earlier on. This is a team that clearly isn't going to give up. And that is probably a test. Because earlier on in the season, when we were losing all of those games, right, you could see that the heads were down. We could see their goal. And the guys were like, right, okay, well, that's it. They looked as though they probably hadn't chucked it, right? But... You know, I'm not saying it's intentional or it's like a lack of effort or anything like that, but they looked as though they were quite demotivated at that point. But, you know, that's a few games where we've gone, well, that it's not over. We can still go out there. We can still score one. We can still score two. And that ultimately is what's going to lead to us getting back onto a bit of winning form. Obviously, it's just going to take, you know, you say Lewis Reed looked as though he was still getting to grips with the physicality and maybe even the pace of Ayers forward line, and that's probably fair enough, because despite how good he's been, he's still a young guy that is really lacking experience at this level. But once we can cut out those individual errors, these draws are going to start turning into wins. And obviously we're quite fortunate that there's about 8 teams in the championship that are in a bit of everybody's just kind of stuck together at this point. Nobody's really pulled away and nobody's become totally lost at the bottom of the table. But Because of that, all it's going to take is one or two wins, and I really think there will be a real bit of optimism about the club. And obviously, it wasn't to be on Saturday, but we're going the right direction. You can see we are going that direction where we need to be.
Yeah, we definitely are. I mean, it's all about cutting out these stupid mistakes. I mean, how is it every single game there's been something apart from the 0-0 game against Morton a few weeks ago at Hampden? I mean, the first goal. The second goal, I'll come on to again in a second, but the first goal is just individual mistakes. We obviously point out Thompson lost the ball in midfield. I mean, we're playing out from the back. It's almost like we're setting up again, because it started with Callum Ferry. It wasn't like a sort of full goal kick. He kind of chips it into the sort of the middle of our half, and it's knocked down, and then it's played to Thompson. He loses the ball. But I mean, you've seen that against Partick Thistle. Our second goal there, you know, that started with Callum Ferry kicking the ball out, the midfielder collecting the ball, beating his man, and then going on and creating the attack. Unfortunately, this time Thompson loses it, and yeah, it's played to Dowd, who gets a good touch through Reed one way or another. Does the ball go through Callum Ferry? I know there was some talk of that in the stand as well. I don't know if it's just hit that hard. He's not really got a chance to react to it. Maybe he'll think he could do better. I don't really know what to think of that myself. The second goal, though, it's just that's not an individual mistake. That's not a play style. I mean, that's setting up for a free kick, and I mean, if Dowd's got a touch on it, it's minimal. I think Jamie Murphy might still be trying to claim it from the cross coming in, but it's an in-swinging free kick. Dowd makes a run to the front post. He's the first man, and it's, as I say, a minimal, if any, contact on it. It's just really, that's not an individual mistake that you go, oh, okay, fair enough, you'll get better next time. That comes down more to set pieces, and I mean, how do we need to talk about how often set pieces let us down? defending, I'll say, before we come on to talk about attacking, defending set pieces let us down.
I thought you were just going to stop at defending lets us down there. That's probably a more accurate description at this point.
That too.
I think we are still holding most goals conceded in the league. A quick glance at the table. Yes, we are. Just ahead of Ayr. We've conceded 24, Ayr have conceded 22. But yeah, the defending for the free kick was poor. I mean, I would argue that some questionable decisions from Willie Collum, surprise, surprise. I personally don't think it was a free kick in the first instance. Jarrett goes to get the ball and Jamie Murphy just kind of jumps over his leg and he blows for a free kick, which I thought was a bit odd. There's another one, I think, where Dom Thomas falls and manages to get booked for falling on top of the ball with his hand, which again, I thought was a bit bizarre. But yeah, taking that aside, it was just poor. It was poor. It was poor defending. I think Dowds did get a touch on it, to be fair. I don't think there's any fault at Ferry for that one. But we just need to do better. And it's got to come together at some point. I mean, 4 league draws in a row is fine. But I think we can see that in all of those games, they're all winnable. I mean, if you look back at those 4 teams that we played, who was it? So we had Ayr, Thistle, Airdrie, and Morton. I'm not including the Challenge Cup. None of those teams have looked impressive when we've played them. There's none of those games like when we played Dundee United, for example, where you come away and you're thinking, do you know what? They're just a much better side than us. I haven't felt like that in any game, which for me, out of these 4 anyway, which for me just feels like such a missed opportunity, I think, to get some points on the board. But positive side of that, if you look at the league table just now, we've got Dunfermline sitting on 14 points, with 2 games in hand, so fair enough, they're in 4th. Ayr, Airdrie and ourselves have now all played the same amount of games, so there's been a bit of catch up there, and we're only a point behind the 2 of them. There's still some sort of riskiness, I'll call it, beneath us, where both Inverness and Morton sitting with games in hand, but we really are still in that position that you string a few wins together and suddenly you will break away from this group, because there's going to be teams in and around us and below us that continue to lose. So yeah, positive direction of travel, and just got to hope that these errors get in the bin at some point.
I completely agree, right? But I think another thing that's worth mentioning is that you go back, and I agree, skip the Falkirk game. That was a bit of a... You have to bear in mind it was a different competition, different mentality for the players getting into that. Yeah, it was rubbish, but there's no point in prioritising that because it's done. But see, if you go back and look at the Morton game at Hampden, right, I think if we played that today, we would win that 2-3-0 because at the time, we went into that on a bit of a spin where we were really struggling to score goals as well, but that's not the case anymore. We were looking really, really lacklustre going forward, but with, you know, Dom Thomas and Tommy Robson, for example, linking up a lot better than what they were, and Jarrett doing a bit of a work up front, and Rory Payton, obviously, he's scored a couple. Granted, one of them was a penalty, but you look at the equaliser that he did score down at Somerset Park, that is the kind of chance that he missed about four of against Thistle at Hampden. So I know I probably sound overly optimistic this week, right? But I do genuinely think that we are one win away from I don't want to say being one of the better sides in the division or whatever, but we're one win away from the guys at least really potentially going in a decent wee run here.
I know everybody listening will be putting that down to your illness, Enzo. That's fine. Don't even make that joke again. Let's move into the second half. And, well, of course, where it did get better for Queen's Park. First senior goal for Alex Bannon. A header and a round about the hour mark. It's a really good play, period of play by Queen's Park. Good pass and move all the way through the park. Gets to Dom Thomas out in the left, and his cross is blocked for the corner. Jack Spong goes out to take it. I think we've had a few different corner takers in the last couple of weeks now, haven't we? So Spong took this one. Fantastic shout. I believe it might be Lee Bullen, but there's a fantastic shout from the air bench of win your headers as Spong's ball comes in. And Alex Bannon does just that. Buries it into the bottom right-hand corner. He enjoyed that. We enjoyed that. Obviously, still 2-1. You come back into the game. We're still behind, but you could tell how much he enjoyed celebrating that goal, couldn't you?
And he should have. He deserved it.
It was a great goal. It was genuinely excellent. I didn't really notice at the time how difficult that sort of header was. He had to get it right in the corner, so I thought it was fantastic, and I'm pleased for him. I think we all commented on Bannon at the end of last season, and he obviously got a run of games there, and he looked really promising, and he was kind of frozen out of the squad a wee bit at the start of the season, and I guess through the drop in form from Tizzard and Fox, that's where he's got his opportunity, and he's doing really, really well, and there's so much about his game to like. And When we got Veldman in at the start of the season, I'm not going to lie, I kind of thought that Bannon would be straight in there with the new policies and trying to get youth development through, because in my head, he kind of fit all the criteria in terms of the passing out from the back, etc., etc. And I'm pleased that he's doing well, and I hope it continues, because I do like him. He always speaks well in interviews as well. I think he comes across as a pretty articulate guy. So, yeah, absolutely buzzing for him.
Yeah, I think it was actually, was it that nothing each game down at Somerset Park against there towards the tail end of last season? Possibly one of the only games we actually got a result in the final sort of stretch where he started then. And if I remember correctly, he came on, and he was brilliant. And I think he got interviewed after that game as well. And I remember watching that thinking, he doesn't sound like an 18, 19-year-old boy that barely, you know, that's barely played senior football. He sounded like a seasoned professional. And it just goes to show you these guys are more than ready. Not just Bannon, there's other guys in the squad as well. But I thought Bannon was absolutely fantastic on Saturday. I think he was definitely one of our better players.
Yeah, he definitely had another great shift at Somerset Park, as you say. At the tail end of last season, he came on. I'm sure Lee Kilday got injured. I think it was just before half time. So he got about 50 minutes or so up against Akinyemi last season when he was bang on form and kept him quiet in that 0-0 game. So. Yeah, another good performance down in the air for him, and yeah, great to get a goal. And again, how many times have we spoke this season, you want to see more goals coming from elsewhere in the team, not just relying on Payton. We've seen the midfielders getting amongst it recently. Well, now we can get the defenders in as well. So great goal for Alex Bannon, and yeah, great to see him off the mark. Right after that goal, we made a couple of substitutes. We had Longridge and Jarrett coming off, and you had McPherson and Hepburn coming on. I think initially... You had McPherson go to the right, but I think Barry Hepburn went over to the left mid, if I'm not mistaken, which I was a little bit confused at the time, given that Dom Thomas had been quite influential on the left-hand side and, you know, whipping crosses in and getting the ball down, and as we keep saying, you know, linking up with Tommy Robson, where the two of them seem to bring the best out of each other. Thought that was a little bit of a surprising decision, but while there were a couple more half chances for Queen's Park, you had Thompson hitting the post or the bar, I can't remember which one, certainly hitting the woodwork somewhere. Ayer had a couple of, I wouldn't even call them half chances, just not really being clinical enough in the box. But, as I say, 94th, 95th minute, Robin Belsman's decision to put Dom Thomas on the right-hand side pays off, because he gets the ball out there, stands his marker up. I think Payton actually plays the ball out to him. He twists and turns, gets it back to Rory Payton, who, as he does manage to do, we've seen a number of times already, he finds that little bit of space in the box. And thankfully, unlike the Partick Thistle game the week before, where he missed three or four of them, first time finish, into the back of the net, injury time, equaliser, and rescues a point when we were potentially looking at nothing. So, once again, great celebrations there from the two of them. The two of them went and did their own separate thing, Thomas and Payton.
I don't know if Thomas was getting a bit of grief from their fans, but he proper lauded that one after the goal. I actually think there's a lot of good points to talk about with this goal, right? Because to start, I think we've been critical of some of the substitutions that Veldman might have made and a bit bemused by some of the tactical decisions, which you always are when you're a bad run of form, right? You pick apart everything. But bringing McPherson on, who I would argue, I think I would rather see McPherson start for the next few games and off the back of, because he had that one really, really good game. Then he seemed to get put out of the squad again. If he was injured, fair enough. But I'd be keen to see him in, because that attacking intent was really, really evident when he came on. And I wonder if that's why he swapped Dom Thomas over to the right-hand side, so that he had the overlap with McPherson, because I think he gives you a bit more going forward than Longridge does, just mostly because of his athletic ability, I think, more than anything, which obviously resulted in the goal. Two, it was quite nice to see another manager make some bizarre substitutions that cost him the game, because if you look at the subs that Lee Bullen made over the course of the last 20 minutes of that game, they take off Dowds, who was doing really well. They take off Rose, who was also causing us some bother. They take off Jamie Murphy. They take off, who was the other one that they took off? Chalmers. And they bring on the likes of Aidan McGeady, who has been injured for the last few games, to try and see out a game where you're one goal up. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. And Ayr fans, I think, were rightly quite raging off the back of that. But much to our benefit, an Ayr's defending for that last goal was honking.
Yeah,
absolutely so honking. I mean, it is just Payton in the box, and there's about three of them, and the centre-back who's closest to Payton is just standing watching him. I mean, fine by me, absolutely brilliant. But it was also good just to see Payton slot that home, because we've seen that the week before. We talked about it, the three chances where it was basically the same thing, wasn't it? A cross, excellent cross, right across the six-yard box, and he fluffed it last week, but it wasn't the case at Ayr, which was nice. And credit again to Dom Thomas and his crosses, because he delivered a lot of the crosses the previous week in the game against Thistle, which Payton should have been on the end of. He delivered that one as well. So there's definitely an improvement there. And we've been calling out for it, both from the sort of forward play when we're in our attacks to get better crosses, but also from the corners. So it was kind of nice to see both of them pay off.
Aye, so I agree with you, by the way, regarding Lee Bullen substitutions. I think they were really, really strange. And if I were an Ayr fan, I would be frustrated by it. But I don't think that justifies how poorly they defended as that second half went on. Because ultimately, yes, taking guys like Dowds off means you're removing any attacking threat. But in a scenario like that, where we didn't really offer a huge amount in the first half, they should be able to see out a 2-0 anyway. Like, I'd be of the belief that the players let Bullen down more than Bullen let the fans down in that situation. But yeah, the second goal in particular, defence was shocking. But as I said earlier on, and as you touched on there, those are chances that Payton never managed to get on the end of at Hampden last week. So really, really important to see him do that. And that'll do his confidence rather good, because yes, he scored against Thistle, but it's not the same as scoring a goal from open play. A penalty is great and they all count. But as a striker, you want to be doing what you're there for, and that's his job. His job is to get into those areas of the box and just put the ball in the back of the net. See in terms of Dom Thomas's celebrations, by the way, right? You questioned whether maybe he was getting a bit of grief from some sections of their support. I actually I don't think he was. I think he just likes winding people up. He does it basically every single time we score a goal. I think he just likes being a bit of a pantomime villain. And I'm absolutely here for it.
Love it.
Obviously, you want to be doing that when you're picking up results. But I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if nobody said a word to him all game. He just likes winding folk up.
Hey, I'm totally fine with it as well. It just gives me a bit of anxiety because half the time when he's done that, the team have just went up the pitch and scored against
exactly.
I was going to say there's been a good few occasions where this came back and bit him, unfortunately. But no, great to see. Great celebrations for both goals from all the players involved. And, you know, it was great to rescue a late point. I did go back. It's trivia time. I don't know if you guys will. I don't know if you have perhaps cheated and thought of this already. But I went back and, disclaimer, thanks to the Soccerway website, which has results going back for God knows how long. I went back and I went and found, when was the last time we got an away night, an injury time equaliser away from home? When was the last time we did that? And then I just looked at the last away injury time winner, because it was great bouncing about. We were all kind of away. I know certainly at that point I was ready to head straight out and just head straight. I wasn't on the supporters bus, but I was straight on the train up the road, and then got a great chance to jump about and have a good few hugs with a few people. So do either of you recall or can you even think of a ballpark time as to when that last happened?
Oh man, your work's been quiet this week, eh?
Yes, I was hungover on Sunday, so I had a bit of time to look up, yeah.
I honestly, away win in injury time. No, I can't remember. I would guess perhaps the League One season, perhaps just because of the, well, maybe not for a win, maybe for an away draw. I don't know. I would purely be guessing.
Well, so you have it then. Well, unless Enzo, you want a shot or will we go straight to the answer?
So I was thinking about this as well, but I didn't actually look anything up. And the last kind of big away win I can remember where we came back from behind, and I don't remember when the goals were scored, though the problem is these might not have been injury time. But in the League Two season, Edinburgh City away, possibly? Was that an injury time?
No, that was in, like, I think Simon Murray's to go 3-2. That was like the 84th minute.
Right, okay, fair enough. That was the first thing that came into my head. I couldn't remember exactly what time the goals were scored. Well, in that case, I haven't got a clue.
No, fair enough. I say, I was going by the Soccerway website and looking when it was recording the goal as 90 plus, and then I was looking it up. So in terms of a draw, the last time we got a late equaliser to rescue a point, it was Anton Brady versus Albion Rovers in April 2017, a 2-2 game.
No way, man, that's so bad.
Last time we scored a last-minute equaliser, and actually, just when I was looking there, we did it 10 days prior to that as well, so we actually had two in the space of 10 days, and then we haven't had one for 6 years.
So
10 days before that, it was Ewan McPherson versus Alloa, again, a 2-2 draw away from home.
And just to clarify, that was last-minute equalisers. When was the last time we got an injury time winner away from home? You've probably not got that information there in front of you, but I'm sure somebody listening might know.
I'm afraid, Enzo, I do.
Oh, right, okay.
It's not much further away, but it's still that same season. But you're going back to the 13th of August, 2016. Josh Watt scoring to make it 2-1 versus Stenhouse Muir on that day.
Josh Watt?
I have to be honest, and I apologise if Josh Watt ever finds his way here, but that is one of those names that I do not recall at all. But I even looked it up. You've got, you know, Ian Cairns, the Queen's Park photographer. His website has all the photos going back years. And Josh Watt exists. he's definitely somebody there. And I'm afraid I just don't recognise him at all. But he scored to make it 2-1 Queen's Park, as I say, at Ockle View in August 2016. That was a
wow. That was the season... That was in League One, wasn't it? That was the season we finished fifth or sixth or something in League One. We weren't too far off the playoffs.
Yeah, it was. It was Gus McPherson's season, wasn't it? It must have been one of them. Was that his last one?
It was definitely Gus McPherson. Definitely started that season. I can't remember. No, he saw out that full season. It was the following season he left, I'm sure.
That's right. It was. So so you're talking 6-7 years since we've had the opportunity to celebrate like that. So Long, long overdue. I certainly don't hope that we're in the position for last minute equalisers.
Right, let's just win games 3-0 so we don't need to do that. Get them, I would much prefer that.
All the goals scored nice and early, nice comfortable wins, please. But can't deny that it was good fun to jump about like that. But that was Air 2, Queen's Park 2. Our man of the match, Enzo, I'll go to you first since you already perhaps hinted that you're going to give it to Alex Bannon. Is that
Well, actually, I was very careful with my wording when I said I thought Alex Bannon was one of our best players on Saturday, because I thought Bannon was excellent. But I actually think his link-up play and obviously getting a goal in the second half, I actually think Payton deserves man of the match, and I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah,
I thought he was really good. I think his movement off the ball was fantastic. He found really good positions all the time, and obviously he came up with that last-minute equaliser.
I think that's a fair shout. It's definitely, for me, it is definitely between Payton and Bannon. I think, yeah, I'm going to pass it on to David. I'm going to go for Bannon.
All the pressure's on you now.
The pressure's not on me, because I knew that I was going to give it to Alex Bannon. As great as it was for Payton to get that goal late on. And yeah, he certainly did have some good link-up play, and he forced a really good save from, it wasn't Albinson that was in goals, it was Robbie Much for the... in goals for Air, force a good save from him later on in the second half as well, obviously just before injury time. But for me, I'm going to go with Alex Bannon. I thought he had a solid game at the back. I know we conceded two goals, but individually he had a good game, and for him to cap it off with his first goal, I'm going to give it to him.
That is his second man of the match of the season. So we do actually. Let me have a wee look. So what have we done so far? So we've played 14 games across all competitions at which we've been recording them. The first two of the season were Spong, and then has anyone else got two? Bannon's got two. And yeah, aside from that, it is
a lot of individuals.
Yeah. Fox, Payton's only got the one. McKenna, Turner, Longridge, Hepburn, Thompson, Ferry, McPherson, Thomas. So we went through pretty much everybody else. So all wide open on the man of the match front.
Excellent. We'll obviously keep going with that, and we'll the race for that is certainly hotting up already. Let's have a quick look at the rest of the league and the league table. Arbroath 1, Partick Thistle 3. Kind of surprised at that, given how poor Thistle were against us, but I suppose Arbroath are one of those teams. What definitely I'm surprised at is Inverness getting a point off Dundee United. Not great for us, as if we are potentially looking over our shoulder there. You also had Wraith against Airdrie, and the Friday night game you had Dunfermline Wraith at Airdrie was 1-0. Skip past that without actually saying the score. Too busy, too eager to get ahead to talking about Morton losing again. Bottom of the league on the Friday night, Dunfermline scoring after 30 seconds or something like that on BBC Scotland on Friday night. Scored very, very soon after that again, and dominated most of the game. They were hanging on a little bit at the end with a late Morton penalty, but that, I know you were saying, Andrew, it's not really, the league table hasn't really stretched out yet, but with the game in hand, because you have got Inverness and Morton below us, yes, they do have a game in hand, but that'll be playing against each other, so you're not going to have both of them catching right back up to us. So I think, and especially when you look at comments online, first of all, let's talk briefly about Morton. Looks like they're in a little bit of bother as things stand.
Yeah, they don't look very good. I didn't get the chance to watch any of that game. I was out on Friday, but from what I heard, they were terrible. My friend who's a Dunfermline fan, I think he was at the game, he was messaging me, and he told me he literally couldn't believe how bad they were. And it's maybe, I guess they must have improved at some point, because they were two down so early on in the game that at that point, you're really fearing that it could get a bit embarrassing to only lose 2-1 in the end. They must have made some changes and done something right and made a few improvements. I'm trying not to worry too much about that. I know you're always going to talk about and look at the league table. I'm just trying not to worry about it. But I do think, we're getting to that stage now. What are we, about a third of the way through the season or something like that? I think between now and maybe Christmas time, things will open up a little bit more and we will get a bit more of an idea of where people are likely to end up come the end of the season. But at this stage, I struggle to see Morton not finishing in the bottom two, I don't know if they'll necessarily go down automatically. There's a couple of teams that if they go on a bad run, they could easily find themselves down there as well. But I just can't see them not finishing in the bottom two.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick my hat out and say they are getting relegated. I did watch that game, and the first half they were absolutely honking. And I don't know if Dougie Emery's just being stubborn, which would be of no surprise to anybody, but continuing with playing Broadfoot and Power in these games is insane. I don't know if it's a case of he's brought them in so he wants to make it work so he doesn't look bad, or he just thinks his options are that breath that he can't take them out of the squad. But they really didn't offer anything. And you're right, I mean, they were hanging on a wee bit at the end, Dunfermline, but yeah, I didn't think Dunfermline were particularly great either, which again gives me confidence in lots of different ways. So yeah, I think they're going to have to make some signings in January, and they're not going to, as far as I'm aware, I don't know who they've got in the cups, but unless they get another big windfall like they did last season to bring in some more players, I doubt that they're going to make a push. So I think they'll be hanging around the bottom of the table most of the season, you would expect, which what we talked about last week is exactly what I hope. I really do hope that there is at least one team totally lambasted to the bottom of the table. It was a shame that Inverness managed to pick up a point against Dundee United, because I've already just adopted the mindset of I'm quite happy with Dundee United just beating every single team in the league. Obviously, except us. If they want to slip up a couple of times against us, I'm more than welcome to it. But they look so far ahead of everybody else that was a wee bit disappointing. But I'm not necessarily convinced at this point that it will be Inverness that's hanging around the bottom of the table for a massive amount of time. I think Airdrie might end up down there. I don't think Arbroath are going to be up to much. I think they'll just be patchy the whole season, as you maybe expect. And I also think Ayr will get dragged down into it, probably with ourselves. So yes, lots of misery in other teams that we can be hopeful about.
That's a good summary of events, I think. You're right about Imre, though. I think given that, you know, they were sort of hailing him as the second coming of Jesus Christ last season.
Oh, they've turned, man. They have.
They have turned, aye. I mean, yeah, it's funny. And it's just like, you know, they're not just starting to question them. A lot of them, in fact, from what I've seen online, potentially even a majority of them are wanting rid of him at this point. They've accepted that it's, you know, he's taken them as far as he possibly can. But you have to also, I think you're right that Imrie is in a situation where last season he came in and he managed to, for the most part, it was actually the tail end of the season before that he came in, wasn't it? Last season was his first full season, but he was still mostly working with a squad that he had inherited. But now it's a squad, and well, at least some of the squad are guys that he's put together, and he seems quite loyal to them, to a fault. But listen, see if he wants to keep playing Kirk Broadfoot every single week at this level of football, please be my guest. Brilliant. Keep at it, big man, because he's nowhere near up to it.
I'm also not convinced by Jamie McDonald, by the way. I didn't think he's 37 now, and he wasn't the best when he was at Wraith the previous seasons. And bringing him in, I know that we talked about it a lot last season, where Imrie was absolutely slaughtering his whoever the young keeper was that they had in goals. I'm not sure that McDonald's much of an improvement. He certainly didn't shine himself in glory in that game. But yes, into the furnace, hopefully, with them.
Yeah, definitely. It would be great to see, as you say, Calum, you want one team down there that you don't really have to worry about, and even better if it's Morton. Well, our quick news roundup, that's really all it is. It's just looking at other results for other Queen's Park teams over the last few days. Today you had Reserve League Cup, Young Queen's Park away to Hamilton, 4-0 win for Aggies, so not obviously great, but notable in that Stuart McKinstry makes his first appearance. Don't have any match report or anything as at this moment in time from Queen's Park, so we don't know how much he played or anything at all like that, but he did start, so perhaps we're getting a little bit closer to maybe seeing him involved with the first team and seeing what he can do, so that would be great to see. You also had Queen's Park Women on Sunday with a late winner of their own, a 3-2 win over St Johnson. You had Ellie Kane and Nicole Cairnley scoring early on in the game, but St Johnson came back, and then you had Megan Quigley, and I believe it was like a 90+5 goal, a header from a corner of her own. Last touch of the ball to win the game for QP Women, so they maintain that really excellent start to the season. Just that one real blip against Kilmarnock, and I think that game ends, I know we mentioned it last week, I'm sure that's coming up. Is that not December at some point, that game? So definitely going to be one to keep an eye out on, and that'll be a big one for sure for them.
Yeah, it's in December at some point. I can't remember what the date is, but it's just a shame that they're not being given the opportunity to play that in the south side, because I don't think New Tintwell Park is particularly accessible by public transport, and it's a wee bit of a trek away. You'd like to think, you know, they'd get a few hundred in for a game like that. I don't know what the situation is with the City Stadium or Lesser Hamden, but I'd be quite keen on going along to watch a game like that. And by the way, as we speak, just a few minutes ago, Ellie Kane has been announced as the Player of the Month for October. So that's 3 months into the season, and she's been Player of the Month every single month. That's 4 games this month and 6 goals. So it'd be pretty difficult to justify giving that to anybody else. So congratulations to her again.
That's a ridiculous achievement, isn't it? I mean, I can't imagine there's many leagues where that's ever really happened. So, no, it's absolutely fantastic. And I totally agree with you about playing somewhere in the south side, because I just think they kind of, like, they deserve it to an extent. And I think a lot of people would be really keen to go along, given how well they've been doing over the course of the season. And it's a shame that they're not getting to capitalise, I think, on how well that they're doing by getting people involved in the women's side of the game and watching the football a wee bit more. So, yeah, we don't know the reasons why. Hopefully, it's something that will change over time. But, yeah, more credit, absolute credit to them. They're doing fantastic.
It's funny how she's basically wrapped up probably Player of the Season, and it's not even December yet. It's barely even, we're only a week into November.
Unless a total capitulation or something like that, but I agree.
Very impressive.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. She's had an absolutely fantastic start to the season. So, yeah, already she must have one hand on that trophy. And certainly a big, not just for the league, but maybe a national win. Who knows? But, yeah, also in terms of the City Stadium and QP Women, it's something that you've got to think the club are going to be looking at. There's been quite a few tweets and posts online from Queen's Park fans now starting to ask the question of why aren't the women's team playing there? And we don't know if there's contractual reasons or what. You hear sort of whispers and you hear rumours about there might be clauses in terms of the contract with the SFA, obviously with using Hamden and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, I'm not expecting Queen's Park to come out and show us the contract, but at the same time, you would like to think that we wouldn't be putting something in the contract that means we can't use a stadium that we built for a Queen's Park team, especially one that is, absolutely flying in the league, banging the goals in, a really good story so far this season, and you would want to see the club promoting it. And especially when you look at a scene that Partick Thistle did, obviously something similar with their women's team at the weekend, and they got the women's team at Fir Hill, and we were again, like Queen's Park are doing, in incentivising tickets and things like that. And
free, actually. It was completely free.
Oh, it was free with it? Oh,
yeah,
there you go.
Free of charge,
I wasn't sure if they were just handing out tickets or there you go. So it was completely free to go along and go and support the team. And I'm sure they posted something like they had a better attendance at Fir Hill than, I think it was about 90% of League One and League Two games.
So, yeah, it was.
That's a great thing by them. And we've got to look at, I'm sure we've said it before, we've said, look at Partick Thistle and the things they're doing in Glasgow. We should basically just be copying their homework, and this is another thing that seems like an easy hit.
Yeah, I think the crowd was just shy of 900, which is really, really impressive. Obviously, yeah, it was free of charge. That's going to incentivize some people. But they ran I don't know if it was at a discounted rate, but they ran hospitality as well and got a few people in for that. And it sounds as they won the game 3-0 too. So obviously, that's going to encourage people to want to come back along and watch their women's team, who normally play up at Peters Hill Park, if I'm not mistaken. But With the way the women's sport is growing in the country, just feels like a bit of a missed opportunity. And as you say, the players are playing so well; they're banging goals in for fun. The goal difference is wild. And at this point, you've got to make them favourites for promotion to the top division. And what happens then? What happens if they get promoted to the top division and they're playing against Celtic, Rangers, Glasgow City, and stuff like that? Because I would imagine New Tintwell Park probably doesn't meet any regulations to be playing at that level. So I don't know. They need to have a plan in place. Although, to be fair, I'm not entirely convinced they have a plan in place even for the men's first team. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's not really been thought about too much.
Yeah, possibly. We certainly hope something can be done there. It would definitely be great to see. But yeah, one of those things that, again, we're going to have to leave up to the club and see what happens. And finally, you did also have the supporters team playing on Saturday morning, but I done enough shouting at the side of the park on the day there. We got beat 5-0 by the Ayr supporters team, but that really does not tell the story of the game, unfortunately. But dodgy referee. I unfortunately had to say unfortunately for who? Well, usually it's unfortunately for everybody else in my team playing, but I never actually went on because we had, you know, when you play Saturday morning football and you're relying sometimes on the home team always arranges a referee. And sometimes when you go away to these places, you get some, shall we say, questionable decisions. And there were a lot of questionable decisions on Saturday morning.
Did you get sent off on the sidelines?
So two people got sent off, or was it three red cards?
So I didn't get sent off on the sidelines, but the manager of the sports team may have got sent off, along with two players.
And it was nothing each when before any red cards, am I right in saying?
It was 1-0 for the first red card. Okay. And honestly, it's Saturday morning football. Listen, it's a little bit physical and things like that. Red cards should only be like if you're completely out of order, totally like, you know, take out an opponent. It was a total 50-50 challenge. There was no malice. And I would also argue the Queen's Park player won the ball. But the referee gave straight red card and a free kick right in the edge of the box. And then, obviously, there's the biggest thing that nearly got me set off. You can't have an attacking player interfere with the wall now when you set up a wall defending a free kick. Like that is a rule in football. That is FIFA and all that kind of stuff. Two of the Ayr players went onto the end of the wall and started pushing into Ayr players. And the guy hit a really good free kick, top corner, but they interfered with the wall, so it should have been a Queen's Park ball. The referee gave it and just walked away and then told us to shut up and stop complaining. So at that point, the heads were lost, and then the game kind of descended into farce. So yeah, not great, but we'll go again. I think we're taking on Airdrie this week. So yeah, we'll hopefully bounce back and get back on track. It was a classic Saturday morning affair, unfortunately, for the supporters team there. But thankfully, the big team saved the day and had us feeling good on the way home. That's it, really. There's not much else to cover. I've covered all the results. So let's go straight ahead to this week, this coming game. Back at Hampden, Raith Rovers are visiting. Raith are currently doing very well, it's fair to say. Second place, obviously, just behind Dundee United. Dundee United top 28 points. Raith, one game less played, but they're on 24 points. Obviously, Queen's Park currently 12 games played, 13 points. Our form, that 4-1 defeat against Dundee United and then four draws in a row. And then you had Raith Rovers, their last five, win, draw, win, win, and then most recently that 1-1 draw against Airdrie. Last time out against Raith Rovers, obviously, at Starts Park, we were looking pretty good despite going down to 10 men ourselves there with a questionable refereeing decision with Will Tizard being sent off. Possibly should have held on at least for a point on that day, but obviously didn't happen, and some late goals for Raith Rovers meant they came out 3-2 winners on the day. I think it's fair to say the fortunes of both teams have really shifted since then. Raith were finding their feet in the league. They've done really, really well since. And I think, well, I mean, I don't have to say I think. You know, it's been pretty clear that we've not been great since that time. What are you guys expecting from Saturday?
A win.
A win.
You're mad confident about this, Enzo, aren't you?
I'm not. Listen, I don't know if I'm maybe trying to talk myself into believing that we're going to win, or if I genuinely do believe that we might win. I'll explain the logic behind my thinking. Right, so see that last game at Starks Park, we were a man down, and Raith, obviously, they ultimately went away with all 3 points, and it was a disappointing and frustrating day for all of us, right? But they made hard work of it when they were probably the better team by quite some margin over the 90 minutes, I think. And Airdrie have taken 4 points off them this season as well. So they've lost to Airdrie and they've drawn with Airdrie. So, right, they obviously struggle with teams like us and Airdrie who like to pass the ball about a little bit. Struggle's probably a bit of a stretch, right? But we are going to be better than we were at Starks Park. We are now scoring goals. One day soon, the defence is going to click and we're not going to make any daft mistakes. And listen, I accept that Wraith are flying high. They, you know, they've invested a lot of money into this team. They're probably, I would imagine, the second biggest budget in the league behind Dundee United. You know, guys like Jack Hamilton and that will be on really, really hefty wages, and you know, they've got a bit of money to spend, so why not? But they're due a poor result, and I genuinely, I'm feeling cautiously optimistic about this game.
Oh, I don't know what to feel about this game, to be honest. I think Wraith are, despite them only being a few points off Dundee United in the table, they're a very different prospect. Dundee United, they've been winning games. I know that they drew Inverness last week, but they've been thumping teams 4-0, etc., etc. Whereas, including the game that Wraith beat us, they haven't beat a team in the league since that point by more than one goal. Every game, it's 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, etc., etc. They're not steamrolling past teams, despite their obvious depth that they've got in their squad. And that's one thing that they do have on their side. We've seen it against us. I've mentioned it a few times. They've got a lot of guys that they can bring on. Like, they've been bringing on Dylan Easton as a sub in some games. Do you know what I mean? He's a starter. As much as we like to bemoan him, he's a starter in pretty much all the teams in the Championship. So they've got a lot of depth in their squad. And that's what I'm worried about personally, is that depth. We've talked about our options off the bench. It's feels a wee bit weak by comparison. Wraith have it in spades, but I still think that this is definitely a winnable game. Wraith are not going to win every game this season. Definitely not when they're winning each game by like one goal. I just don't think that's sustainable forever. And surely, I don't know, I'm almost fed up saying this at this point, but surely to God, it just ends at one point and we win a game.
Exactly. Like, get on the positivity bus. We're going to win. We're going to win.
I think you two might have talked me around a little bit there. I'm not when we come on to do our predictions, I'm not going to turn around and say that we're getting beat, but I look at the league table and I think of, yeah, okay, they're only winning games by one goal. They're winning games, though, and it's something that we are not doing.
It's a mindset, isn't it?
I love the point, see, looking at it as a Queen's Park fan and going, oh yeah, they're only winning by one, so we just need to hold on next time, like we were doing. You know, we were doing so well at Starks Park, obviously down to 10 men, coming back and taking the lead. We've shown we can do it, but maybe I'm just too dour, but I look at the league table and I just go, nah, no chance. But I don't know. I do like your reasoning. I like the pep talk that you've both given. Maybe we'll get you two to give the pre-match talk and get them up for it on Saturday, because
that's a terrible idea. I'll be steaming by 2:45 on Saturday afternoon.
I think that would be the best version of you, Enzo, to give that speech. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
the pre-match talk of, aye guys, you might have a slight chance. That's about as far as our optimism has got at this stage.
I'm cautiously optimistic we're going to win this one. No, I just don't know. I worry particularly, as you say, Callum, it's about the depth and it's not just the depth. I mean, you know, yeah, we've got players to bring on, but it's the quality that they've got on the bench, and how many weeks do we see it where they are bringing on substitutes 5-10 minutes later? Those guys are the ones that are going and getting those late winning goals for Wraith and keeping them up the top end of the table. I just worry. I do worry. I'm not sure.
No, there's nothing. I understand your concern. It makes sense. Like I say, they have a really good team that they have invested quite heavily in this year. And Callum touched on the fact that they have that depth and quality on the bench as well, which I think can be such a massive difference maker at this level. And most teams don't necessarily have that. Some people would probably argue that we are one of those teams. I think this team is considerably more capable than what results over the past 2.5 months or so would suggest. And I think it's about time that they prove that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment as well. Okay, well, lineup. Well, before we move on and do score predictions, we've had the same lineup 2 weeks in a row. Are you proposing, would you be seeing, I think, did you say it, Enzo, earlier on, sorry, where it was bringing McPherson starting at right back now?
I think it was Callum who said that, but I agree with it.
Okay, yeah, Callum, you're going with that then. Any other changes?
Yes, so I would bring McPherson in again. I don't think Longridge has done overtly bad. He's obviously been a pretty consistent starter for most of the season, and I think he's done a really, really good job, but I think we're starting to get into a bit more of an attacking rhythm, and I think McPherson offers a wee bit more there than Longrose does, so I'd be keen to bring him in. Aside from that, my other change, well, I guess there might be an enforced change because we've seen Robson go off, so we might see Bruce at the back, which I guess flip sort of devil on the shoulder to what I just said would leave you with an insanely young back four where you maybe want Longridge in and about there, I'm not too sure. But the other change that I would be tempted to make would be to bring Hepburn back into the squad. I think he is very, very lively and will hopefully do well against a side like Raith, who play a similar game against us. But I would also be okay starting with Jarrett again. But I think for me, if I was picking it, I'd be bringing in McPherson and Hepburn.
Yeah, I think I would go with that as well, to be perfectly honest. I think Hepburn, maybe you can see a benefit to bring him on during the game. Again, as you say, you know, he's a very lively player. He's obviously very quick, and it's that classic football kind of cliche, isn't it, of getting at tired defenders and things like that. But I think he can offer that. We know he can be very good at that from the start of a game anyway. So I think now that he's served his suspension and he's back, he obviously got half an hour or so against Ayr on Saturday there. I think it might be time to bring him back into the lineup. And I also agree with the reasonings on bringing McPherson in as well. So yeah, I think I 100% agree with you on your lineup there. Let's do our score predictions then. So don't think any of us had Bannon first goal scorer, did we, Callum? No.
No, Bannon first goal scorer, and yeah, neither of us.
Guys,
none of us got.
We are shite at this. Honestly, we are terrible at this. We're just wasting everybody's time.
No, right. Yeah. We're not terrible at this, right? Realistically, it's Queen's fault. See, if they started winning games, there'd be points flying about all over the place. Okay, but up until that point, we are struggling. Yes.
Last season, we all scored like 30 odd points each. That's because we were predicting wins and things like that. So yeah, it's our fault for being too optimistic.
Enzo, if you want to start, predicting losses, then you can do so. We don't know what the repercussions will be yet, but you can try it.
Listen, if I'd been bold enough to do that about 8 weeks ago, maybe even longer now, I'd have won this already. But I can't bring myself to do that. I just can't do it.
Good, exactly. Ergo, we'll all stick with nay points. Right, David, on you go.
Me first, right? Okay. It's 2-1 Queen's Park.
Okay.
Rooney Payton, I know that's me saying, oh, I'm miserable, I don't know how it's going to go. But yeah, that's what we're saying. We're always going to predict wins. It doesn't matter how we actually feel. We did predict some
draws last season. We did,
and even that felt dirty. But honestly, we could be playing Real Madrid next week, and I go, 2-1 Queen's Park. I'm no predicting defeats, and yeah, I doubt I'll predict any kind of draws. So 2-1 Queen's Park, I'm going to cheat and go Payton first goal scorer, and it will be Jack Thompson, because he had a couple of good efforts against Ayr. He was close with a couple of them, so yeah, him to get another one.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go for an absolutely tragic nail-biting 1-0 Queens. With mind that game at Falkirk, the first game of the season where we get promoted to League One, and we won it 1-0, and
I remember it well.
And Falkirk missed like a penalty, 20 sitters, everything.
Two goals disallowed.
Yeah, something nonsense like that. That's what I'm going for. So I'll go 1-0, and it's going to be Dom Thomas with another rage-inducing celebration.
Okay, David, did you go with Payton for first scorer, yeah?
I did, yes.
Right, well,
you're never seeing Payton as first goal scorer again, Enzo, until you become bad at this.
Well, that's
or we become less bad.
You could have just left it at never again then, because I'm going to win this forever. I'm going to go 3-0 Queens.
Okay.
First goal scorer, Jack Turner, one from Payton and one from Barry Hepburn, who may or may not start, but even if he comes off the bench, it's a possibility.
Cool.
All right, good stuff. Elsewhere in the league then this weekend, so another Friday night game on the telly. You've got Dunfermline against Dundee United, and then on to Saturday we've got Airdrie against Arbroath, Inverness Ayr, and Partick Thistle versus Morton, rounding out the fixtures elsewhere. Come on, Enzo, you got something for us?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it's actually just in terms of like from like an entertainment perspective, I think it's a relatively interesting set of games. You'd expect the United to probably win quite comfortably against Dunfermline on Friday night. I'd probably fancy Inverness to beat Ayr, Thistle. Do you know what? Airdrie or Broth, even I don't think anything, I don't think a win either way would be much of a surprise. I'm just gonna go with us to get a win. That'll probably be the cutting buster for you know, if any of them stand out as being of having that possibility.
If Dunfermline managed to take any points off Dundee United, that would be a very, very impressive start of the season for them, considering they've just came up. I was going to pick Inverness Ayr, thinking that was a bit of a surprise, because I think they are going to be on a wee bit of an upward trajectory still. But yeah, aside from that, I just don't care about any of the other teams right now. I'm so utterly desperate for us to get some wins.
100%.
It's just like...
Then you can start worrying about everything else.
Aye. If this will beat Morton, then that would be fine again on the basis of keeping them near the bottom of the table. But I just want to see some wins for us.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It was easy to talk last year, wasn't it, when we were kind of top of the league or top four in general and kind of look at what was going on elsewhere. But yeah, right now we want to get back up there. So all that really matters is focusing on Queen's Park. So that is that's what we'll be back doing next week. Look forward to seeing you both at Hampden on Saturday. I'm sure it'll be a chilly one. We're getting into that time of year now, aren't we, where Hampden becomes a little bit, I'm not going to say difficult to get to, but it can be difficult to hold on and stay warm in Hampden at times, say, throughout the winter. So look forward to seeing you there regardless. It has, of course, been a pleasure as always. Continue to find us on Twitter, at Spiders Talk Pod, and continue to find us on Pie and Bovril and all the threads relating to Queen's Park. Thank you once again for coming back and listening to us this week, and we will see you all again next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. Because of the day, come final, league match or friendly. But then because of the day, play for the sake of the game. Play for the sake of the game.